Welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an online audio ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and Carson City United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at www.carsoncityumc.org, or you can visit my blog at www.thepulpiteer.com for more sermons, Bible studies, and writings. All right, I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 4 to 13. Mind you, this is Paul writing to a church in Corinth that was always fighting with each other. And one of the things they fought about was some of them thought that the Holy Spirit had gifted them more awesomely than other people. And so this is to address that. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another various discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink the one Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God, we pray that you would have the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I went into ministry, pastoral ministry, a few years ago, there were things that I didn't realize that were involved in being a pastor until I became one, or things that hit me differently. I'm not from a pastor's family. My dad is an undertaker, kind of, and works at Michigan State doing that, so it's a different thing. And so I've through pastoral transitions, I'm actually more used to being on your end of things than I am used to being on my end of things. So going into the pastoral ministry, I've been a pastor about 9 years now. There were things about being a pastor I didn't realize how they were until I was one. Now, there's some things you think about it, like you get a parsonage, and the parsonage is like whatever house the church has to give you. But I kind of made my peace with that. I understood that. I thought, well, it'll be kind of like renting, and then we'll just have to save up and buy a place later. So, like in my mind, I made peace with that, and so that hasn't really been a big deal. Plus, I was here, and you guys let me dig up the entire lawn and plant things, so that was fine. So the parsonage stuff wasn't bad, but there's actually two things that were much harder than I anticipated. I didn't even really anticipate them happening. One of them is I didn't anticipate how difficult it would be to move. I just never thought about it. I knew I was a Methodist pastor, and so that they changed our appointments and stuff like that. But to be honest with you, it's caught me off guard how hard it has been each time that's happened. Just singing Amazing Grace with you just really hit me this morning, and seeing all of you here, it's just a pleasure to see you all here, and to feel like I'm among family and friends, and then know that in a couple of weeks I'll be someplace different. And so that's been harder on me than I just didn't even think about that. Another thing that's been really hard is, as a pastor, I know a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes in a church. I call it seeing behind the curtain. Seeing behind the curtain is very difficult. You see things and know things that are challenging. So moving's hard. Starting someplace new makes me nervous. You just wonder, so will they like me? How am I going to go? And then, so I was thinking about this, and Ann and I were talking one night, and like it's normal to, like when a pastor moves in, people give you welcoming gifts. And we're kind of talking and joking and thought, you know, what would be some of the worst welcoming gifts you could get? Like ones that would be bad. thought, like, what if someone comes up and says, well, Pastor, here's a gift certificate to a barber shop. Get a haircut, you filthy animal. They're like, that would be bad, you know? Or maybe if someone came up and said, Pastor, here's a bottle of mouthwash. You look like someone who'd have bad breath. Like, just, that'd be kind of rough. Or, Pastor, here's a tube of Preparation H. I plan on being a pain in the butt. Like, that'd be kind of... You have these fears, and I'm nervous and stuff, and so that's hard. But I think, actually, as hard as that is, and that'll pass, we plan on making new friends. Well, actually, that's how it'll go. We'll either make new friends there, or they'll run us out, so I guess there's that. So we plan on making new friends, and that stuff will pass. I think the harder thing long-term is kind of seeing behind the curtain, knowing some of the conflicts or ugly spots in a church, and you find out about them as a pastor. Like, when I was a layperson, I could just go to Bible studies or I played in the bell choir, so do handbells, and I just would know what I need to know about and really nothing else, and that was just fine. But as a pastor, you like learn about all the fights or the divides or all that stuff that's going on, and you don't always know about it. There was one I actually knew about in the church I grew up in. There were two ladies. I didn't find this out till years later, until I was like in high school or something. There were two ladies, both of whom I really liked, and I found out that they hadn't spoken to each other for over a decade, because for some reason something had happened years ago, and now they just wouldn't even be in the same place together. And I liked both of them, so it was just, I thought, man, that's just, that was hard. It was sad. I liked both those people. And you find out all sorts of stuff like that. Other times, as a pastor, seeing behind the curtain, you know people withdraw. They just kind of fall away. And sometimes I know why, and other times I don't. And it's always hard. It's one of the things I fight is not taking that stuff really personally, because you wonder what you did or what's going on and that sort of thing. And also you realize that the church misses out on that person's talents and gifts. Like, we all lose out. Well, today's Pentecost, and one of the lectionary readings was that 1 Corinthians 12. And today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the followers of Christ, and that the Holy Spirit comes and fills people and gives them gifts and calls us into unity and ministry in Jesus' name. And today's scripture focuses on how this Holy Spirit works in the life of the church, and I think it addresses some of this hard stuff I brought up. So I want to look at the text real quick here. You'll notice right in the beginning it says there's a variety of gifts, the same Spirit. Variety of services, the same Lord. Variety of slides and the same projector. Yes, good. Variety of activities and the same God. Notice that contrast between variety and same. Variety. There's people are different. They're gifted differently. They have different gifts, different services, different activities. But it's all the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. We're all different, but it's the same Jesus that we follow and same Jesus that we serve. Variety and the same. And this is reinforced with the concept as the reading goes on with manifestations, different manifestations of the Spirit, different ways that the Spirit works out in each of our lives. But all of it, so there's all different ways it works out, but it's all for the common good, for the one good, for the ministry in Jesus' name. And then finally, you have the metaphor of the body. So there's one body, but there's many members, many different body parts that do all sorts of different jobs. And if you keep reading through 1 Corinthians 12, it gets kind of funny. It's almost like a children's story where the foot and the ear start talking to the body saying, I don't need you. And Paul's saying, how silly would that be? That if we're part of a body, what if the ear said, well, since I'm not an eye, I'm going to take off? Well, that doesn't work that way. So we have this body analogy that enforces it. Different gifts, one body. All these things point to two conclusions. People have a variety of gifts, but that variety is to function in the unity of the one body. Variety of gifts, same Spirit. So my two points today are, one, the church needs your gifts, and two, the church needs your unity. Church needs your gifts, church needs your unity. So first, the church needs your gifts. I wanted to be a great athlete in high school. I really did. I wanted to be awesome in either, well, baseball, football, or basketball. Anyone would have been just fine with me. In basketball, I was on the JV basketball team. There were only seven of us. There were only seven of us on JV basketball. I was the 10th man in, so it was rough. folding chairs got more floor time than I did. In practice, I thought, well, why don't you get guarded by the chair? Is the mascot doing anything? And it was kind of rough. We don't always get the gifts that we want. I wanted to be able to dunk it, and that never happened unless they lowered the rim a bit. We don't always get the gifts that we want. We don't always get the gifts that are popular. So, you know, I got some gifts, but they're not always the popular gifts. In my high school class, I was voted class bookworm, for example. That gets the girls' attention, let me tell you. Yes, ladies, I don't know if you knew this. Class bookworm, right? That's pretty awesome. And people are like, that's something you can drop in an interview, right? You get gifts. We don't get to pick our gifts. Our gifts get us. The picture that we get in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit gives us each gifts. And it's according to the purpose of God. And these gifts work on their optimal level when we work together. Your gifts are going to work out best when we're working together in Christ. So we have to be unified and Jesus going the same direction together, and then our gifts work best that way. But because we're human beings, we tend to look at our gifts and look at other people's gifts and count how many gifts we have and how many gifts they have, and we tend to rank our gifts. We think that some gifts are more important or more vital. So if you do this or that, maybe you're a more important gift to the church than somebody else. But then sometimes we see that, and so in reaction to that, we like do this counter-ranking of gifts to like pick other gifts that are seen as lower gifts and tell them they're really higher gifts. Like, no, you're really secretly more important than other people. And I wonder if maybe we're just not supposed to rank the gifts at all. Because the gifts that people have all come from the same place anyway. I mean, if we got to pick the gifts that we wanted to do, I'd be able to dunk it, which wouldn't help me up here right now. Instead of focusing on how special you are or are not because of your gifts, maybe we need to focus on bringing Jesus to people as part of the church, whatever gift we have. We should get our value, by the way, from Jesus' love for us, not based on what we can or cannot do. And this is a huge idea, and this is a big thing that you need to carry with you. Your value as a human being doesn't come from what you can do or what you can give to others. Your value as a human being comes from this: God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for you. And if Jesus dying on a cross isn't enough for you, nothing ever will be. There's no amount of performance you can ever do to meet that. Your value as a person comes from this: that Jesus loved you enough to die for you. All the rest of it is just about spreading that. And you let God take care of how that lays out, falls out. There's times when this church in Carson City has used your gifts in wonderful ways. Last year at Easter, we did that tree planting project. And it's I've learned as a pastor, you plan these things, and then I have no idea how many people show up or why. But we had like over 60 people show up and go out and plant a bunch of things and run around and just knock it out and take care of it. And people's gifts were all functioning together. People were teaming up. People were figuring stuff out, attacking it, and going and doing it. And it was awesome to be a part of that. There's other things. When I hear about people sharing their faith, when I hear about people just building relationships outside of the church, or small groups supporting each other, or mentors that are working in Kids Hope, or all the work that goes into Thanksgiving dinner. We've had some amazing stories from the Thanksgiving dinner that this church does of needy families who have come in, or people that have been a part of that who have said, this is just what we need, and this church provided that for them. All of the work and support that's needed for VBS, I mean, think of everything it takes to do VBS, all the donations of money and of materials and of time and of planning. They start planning for that like back in January when it doesn't seem like it's ever going to get warm again. They're planning for VBS. Think of all of the tools and gifts it takes to make those things go. And when people are sharing their gifts in this way, it's awesome. And it's awesome to be a part of it. But you need to know, earlier in the year, before I thought I was going to be moved, as I was thinking about kind of what I needed to do for the next couple of years, I was trying to get my focus on how to get this church to grow in a couple areas. And one of those was getting people to be more engaged. How do we get more people to buy into being a part of the church? How do we get more people to identify and use some of their gifts? And even as a part of that, we did a small gifts, a spiritual gifts kind of kind of seminar night, and we had a poor turnout for that, which was very difficult for me as I was trying to think, how can we do this? How can we get people plugged in and working and that sort of thing? There's areas to grow here in that. Areas to grow in small groups and in discipleship, of taking ownership of your own spiritual growth. That's one of the areas that we need to grow as a church. So we've got things that have gone well, but things that we still need to grow. And the church, you need to hear this, the church needs your gifts. And it is not right for you to withhold them. This ministry is not what it can be without you. And I don't care what your gift is or how small you think it is. If people aren't plugged in, the ministry here is not doing as well as it could be if you were part of it. The church needs your gifts. Church needs your unity. The church needs your unity. As I've told you before, when I was moved here, I was told, Andy, you have three churches here and they don't necessarily get along. One easy solution to that was to move down to two services. So there you have two churches now. You guys, that wasn't why we did it. But I heard that and I thought, man, that's not good. And let me give you, I want you to think about why being one in Christ matters. If you think over our last 6 years together, we've worked a lot on some healing and some kind of unity stuff. And if you think about it, the focus has changed. As we have found healing and become more unified as a church, we've naturally started to be able to do more things where we're outreaching and loving to the community. If you think about the way the activities were in the first, as we kind of moved through that, as we healed together, we were better able to put our energy reaching out. Which tells us this, if our energy is spent fighting, it's not just us who lose out. If our energy is spent fighting, it's not just this church that loses out. There are men and women out there who need to hear about the love of Jesus Christ, who miss out because people are here are at each other. And as we found unity, we've been able to better reach out to love the community and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's through words or through deeds. One of the things that I'm most pleased with from my time here is the way that you've gotten better at loving each other. We are getting better at being one in Christ. Standing up here today, as you get to do this greeting time, and there's a lot of you here, and it's from both services and you were just greeting and greeting. If Dan would have kept playing the piano, you probably would have just been greeting, and then we could have just gone down and ate. Right? It does my heart so good to see that. I was told when I came here that you have three churches that don't get along. And that's not the case. That's not the case. You know, I think about Holy Saturday. So we have this hour and a half service on a Saturday evening full of like baptisms, memberships, communion, all sorts of stuff. Hour and a half on a Saturday evening. That's a recipe for success, right? I'm sure lots of people want to come to that. And you would think that after sitting for an hour and a half through all that stuff that people just bolt out of here. I got Easter dinner to get ready for. But an amazing thing happens is people hang around and they talk to each other. People from each service, they say hello and then they help get ready for Easter Sunday morning. And they take pictures of people who have been baptized. And they're just here together because the church realizes that when those people were baptized, something significant happened. I've loved seeing how we've been able to grow in being able to love each other. And I'm pleased that when I talk to Ed about what he's coming into, I don't have to sit Ed down and say, you have multiple churches. We have one church. We have one church. Very pleased with that. It feels like we've gotten somewhere. We have one church in Christ. So we are on the edge of a big transition, both you and I. My family's moving, and you guys will be getting a new pastor. And the hardest part about this transition is that I'm not going to be here to guide you through it. But Jesus is. And honestly, if there's one thing you could take from my time here, it would be that Jesus is the right answer in church. My hope is that what you get from my ministry is that wasn't this hard when I practiced last night? What I hope you get from my ministry is I hope that I helped you see Jesus better. Really do. Because I believe that Jesus is the answer. And I don't believe that in like a cliche way. I believe that Jesus really makes your life better. It makes your eternity better. And that Jesus is really the thing that people need. And so, I'm on my way someplace else and you guys are in transition, but we have the same Lord that's ruling over us. It's the same Jesus, and that's the most important thing. Now, in this time, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be tempted to withdraw, to withhold your gifts. You will be tempted to divide. It's hard to move forward when there's been division, and those patterns are still there, and there's going to be the temptation to divide. The reason that temptation is going to be there is because that's exactly the sort of thing the devil would do. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. And there's nothing the devil would like more than to tear apart the work that we've been working hard on for these last 6 years. But the mission of this church is far too important for you to give in to those temptations. Because in our communities, as we speak, there are people who are lost and hurting and hungry for life, and we have the answer in Jesus Christ. And if we withdraw or if we divide, then we're not going to be able to do the mission as we need to do the mission, and those folks are going to suffer. So don't give in to that temptation. Be the church that God is making you into. Be the church and do the mission that God has called you to. So may you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To go to those people, to go to this community, and to share Jesus Christ and do the Lord's work. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.